This lesson is entitled The Pastor as a Burden Bearer with Pastor Mike Ray. Pastor Ray has been the pastor of Hopewell Baptist Church in Napa, California for 22 years. This lesson is a part of Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011, hosted by Pastor Paul Chappell in the Lancaster Baptist Church.
The Word of God always has some tune for me. But so glad you're here tonight, this afternoon. Let's open our Bibles to Galatians chapter number 6. And I'm no expert. Someone said an expert's just a drip under pressure. And I'm just in the trenches just like you guys are, and just a privilege to meet many of you. Thank you for making this session. Thank you for those of you that ended up in the wrong session. You felt embarrassed to leave, so you're stuck here, so it looks good. I appreciate that. By the way, highlight, look at that. I got Pat's the Pirate's autograph in my Bible, and grew up on Pat's the Pirate, and here it is, and it's got it. There it is, right there. And so for a dollar, I'll let you look at it afterwards. And I'm still that kid that still gets my Bible signed. I had Brother Chappell sign my new Bible today, and I never want to lose that. When you feel like you've caught up with the big shots, you're well nigh gone. You always want to have heroes in your life. There was one pastor friend of mine. He's got all these famous, his brother Treber, he's got all these famous pictures in the hallways of David Livingston and Charles Spurgeon and all these guys. And I got to thinking, if you examine all of their lives, you'll find they either had a failed marriage or a child that went wayward, or they didn't build a huge church, or they weren't a good pulpiteer. None of them had it all. And so if you're waiting to have heroes that have perfect marriage, perfect kids, a great pulpiteer, huge ministry, national influence, you're not going to have any heroes. You're just not. And I just want to be that little boy that still says, that's my preacher and that's my friend preaching. And there's some younger generation kids that are looking to us that way right now. The same way we looked when we were teenagers, now they're looking to us. And I thank God that you're a man of God and God has laid the burden upon you, this thing of burden bearing. Let's look down, please. Very familiar passages. Looking down in Galatians chapter 6, and we'll jump right in. Here it is, Galatians 6. And the Bible says in verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear, there's that word, ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And then let's skip down to verse 5. For every man shall bear his own burden. And some of this has been taught on this week already. Now, with that in mind, let's flip over to Ephesians chapter 4 just for a moment. So we have that word bear. We're to bear our burdens. We're to bear other people's burdens. And then Ephesians chapter 4. I love this verse. Looking down at verse number 2. The people you don't want to bear their burdens, God gives us another command. Verse 2, for with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. You say, what's that word forbear means? It means put up with people. Some people you like to be around. Some people you forbear. Some you bear, some you forbear. You know what I'm talking about? Someone said our church's bright lights attract a lot of strange bugs. If you've ever had a porch light on, there's bugs that come. And you say, I don't even know these kind of bugs existed. And we have the bright light of soul winning Independent Baptist Church. We attract a lot of strange bugs. It seems like if there's a strange person, they're going to end up at an Independent Baptist Church. Have you ever noticed? We have five churches on the street that our church is on. So oftentimes we'll give out tracts. We'll invite people. They'll say Linda Vista. And they'll pull down the street. First church they see, they'll pull into. So oftentimes we're filling the Lutheran church. One particular Sunday, this family who was not real well-to-do, they began walking inside of the building. The usher stopped them and said, excuse me, you must be looking for a Hopewell Baptist Church. And they said, yes. They said, it's a block down the street. Can you imagine stopping someone at the door, giving them directions to another church? They didn't want them. Because their car wasn't nice enough, their clothes weren't nice enough. But I said a loud announcement in our church, we'll take them. Amen. We'll take them. And that's who Jesus attracted, the common people. And sometimes we bear, sometimes we forbear. Let's have prayer and just a ton of notes today. Father, please help now this time. Each man in this room currently is bearing a burden. And we are told to bear other people's burdens. Help us see how to do it. And maybe get a tool or two that would help us get it all done somehow. And help us mostly to bear your burden. In Jesus' name, amen. I got to thinking earlier today about when I was a little boy, my dad was arrested when I was in seventh grade. The first time we knew Dad was in trouble was when he didn't come home one night. He made nationwide news. So we're watching my dad on the television screen in handcuffs, caught in the largest counterfeiting ring in American history at that time. Over 1,000 years of charges against him. The FBI came to our house. They towed our car off. Front page news 7 days in a row. Television 7 days in a row. We were the talk of the neighborhood. Our pastor came back from the New Orleans federal pen that night from seeing my father. And we all wept and cried. And we said, Brother Smith, is everything going to be okay? He said, everything's going to be okay. Our whole world was shattered. And I got to thinking about how my pastor was bearing our family's burden at that time. I never knew that one day I would be a pastor 22 years later. And I would have to meet a daddy at the hospital whose son had just hung himself. I never knew I'd have to meet someone and announce to their mate that their husband had taken his life. I never knew it was this hard, to be honest with you. When I was a little boy, I thought pastoring was, man, you just read the Bible, holler, scream 3 times a week, have a good time, kick, and knock on doors. I didn't know it had all the rest of it with it. It's a lot of burdens. And I got to thinking, we're not alone. I think about dear friend Dan Carr in Gulfport, Mississippi. Katrina hit their church several years back, 2006. He was averaging about 350 in their church. Our church flew me there to try to lift his arms up and keep him encouraged. 45% of his church members had nothing left but a foundation to their house. That Wednesday night I spoke, he had 30 members in his church. Everyone said, we have no house. We have no place to go home to. We have no car. We have no job. Why would we stay in Gulfport? And I challenged him. I said, won't you just give it a year? You won't start just give it a year. 1 year later on Thanksgiving, they had a Thanksgiving celebration at their church. They had 500 in attendance. The next year, they broke 1,000 for the very first time in their church. He was a burden bearer, and he's still bearing burdens. I got to thinking of John Bishop with his meningitis and now his eyesight. I was at his camp this summer, and there's Brother Bishop riding a motorcycle, blind, watch out, watch out. He said, I know the trails well. Blind camp leader driving the motorcycle across the campus of the camp. I think of John Wesley in yesteryear, who his wife must have had some mental condition. I don't know if she had permanent PMS menopause, which means men on pause. For some of you younger guys, you say, just read your Bible and pray. You'll be okay. Yeah, we can't wait till your wife's 50. And it's going to be great. But here she was. He'd be praying. He'd be praying and she'd boil hot water and dump it on his back. He'd be preaching outside and his wife would take tomatoes and, oh, there you go, John. And there you go. He's the preacher. And his wife is egging him and not egging him on, but egging him with real eggs. I think of Tom Williams, and you know the story. I think of Spurgeon's wife. She didn't sit in the pew and hear her husband preach. She was in bed most of his ministry, an invalid. Because of her because she is sick, his books got printed, and we have all of Spurgeon's books now. It was a burden he had to carry. He can never preach on marriage and look and get a sweet night. His wife wasn't there. He had to carry some burdens. I think of John Wilkerson, who just spoke on compassion. And his son, the car rolled over, and everyone's fine. Is everyone okay? And his son didn't move. And Tyler, age 17, went to heaven. We've had them every year for our married couples get away. And here's a man carrying a tremendous burden, and he comes to lift our burdens. I remember flying back from my buddy Keith Gomez, his wife's funeral, Carla. I remember when they got married, I was there when Keith got saved, big old crawfisherman, and walked the aisle, and he was scary looking. Walked the aisle and got saved. Never knew I'd end up going to his wife's funeral. My wife and I got on the plane. I said, we're doing pretty good, aren't we? And we were going through some tough times. All of us are. I poked my wife. I said, I didn't bury my mate this week. She said, I didn't either. I said, I'm glad you didn't, because I'm her mate. We got We got in the car leaving Tyler Wilkerson's funeral. I said, we're doing pretty good, aren't we, babe? We didn't bury one of our kids this week. She said, we're doing pretty good. We're doing pretty good. Take your Bibles, if you would, just for a moment, and look over to 2 Corinthians, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians, you said, what about the notes? We're almost there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and looking down in the verse. Oh, I love this. The Apostle Paul, and we're not going to go into all that he went through, but I think most of us would say we can't touch the hem of his garment of suffering and burdens. Look, please, 2 Corinthians 4, looking down in a verse, number, I love this, 16. For which cause we faint not. Faint means quit or give up. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us some far more exceeding and eternal weight and glory. What's that mean? Our burden is light compared to somebody else's. And I think part of bearing burdens is when your personal burdens get heavy, quickly flee to someone who's got heavier burdens. You got abscessed teeth and your teeth hurt, get around someone that's dying of cancer. You got a wayward child, go see someone who just buried a child. Our burdens are light. I was telling our church, we taught recently on a Wednesday night on where there are no oxen, the crib is clean, or that may not be the exact verse. But if you don't have any cows, that crib's real clean. More kids you have, messier the house. More family you have, the more people die. The bigger your church, the more problems you have. There he is right there. Boy, I love Brother Tim Chris. I love Brother Kristen's son. That's what this class is. Oh, anyway, okay, he's gone now. So here it is, Brother Chapel's church, running 4,500 to 5,000. 8, 9, 10 times bigger than some of our churches. You say, man, that's what I want. Yeah, 10 times the problems you got. So Paul said, my burdens are light compared to someone else. By the way, burdens I carry at my church, they're light compared to Brother Chapel's. I bury one person a month, he probably buries 12 people a month. We have one down offering. He's got 20 down offerings. Okay, moving right along. Just trying to encourage you here, men. Okay. And then he says, it's but for a moment, the burdens we carry compared to eternity. Just but a moment. You ever have people tell you this? When I get to heaven, I got all these questions I'm going to ask God. I've heard that, and I probably said that. You know what I found out? I think when we see him face to face, he's going to say, what were those? I don't have any. I don't have any. Well, let's look at the notes here. We're going to be in trouble. Here we go. Burden is a weight. It's something to carry. There was a study done years ago, and I'll try to make sure I've got it all documented here. You don't need to jot this down. But a fellow named F.W. Borkum in 1912 actually wrote a book about kids always carrying something. And it's this phenomena that has just taken place for over 100 years in our nation. You'll see a little girl, she wants to carry her baby doll to the mall. She might have the little baby carriage. A little boy, he's got a scooter, and he skates. And here's these kids, they'll skateboard to school and then carry that thing. You never hear a child complain about their burden. They just love to carry something, a toy, a tank, a Tonka truck, a bicycle to school and walking it back. Why do they do that? It's just... they never complain about their burden. Someone said it would be easier to separate a boy from his lunch than a boy from his load. That's how God makes us somehow. There's a desire that wants to carry a load. It was in 1924. I think his name was Rove Fulkerson. He saw a young boy carrying his brother. You know where I'm going with this? He said, pretty heavy load for such a small kid. And the kid said, no, it's not. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. That story was told in Father Flanagan there in Boys Town, the famous Boys Town, helping delinquent boys, was so touched by that. He made a statue there on the property of a man, a young boy carrying his younger brother, and it said, he ain't heavy, he's my brother. So God looks down at us and says, it ain't too heavy, it's your burden. And that's what ministry is all about, carrying our burden, other people's burdens, and then his burden. Several thoughts on this, Roman numeral 1. We're going to have to bear our own burden, bear his burden. A, it's what Jesus did. B, it's what leadership is all about. And if we'll think of Christ, who was it? Someone said, I'll follow you. He says, birds have nests, foxes have holes. He said, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He had no home. He was called a glutton. He was called a devil. He was said to have done miracles in the power of Beelzebub. He had a bounty on his head. He makes one statement at the synagogue. They're going to push him off the pinnacle of the temple. He had a burden to carry. And then to know he was feeding a betrayer for 3.5 years. He knew who Judas was. I know what I'd have done during the Last Supper. I'd have said, it's him, get him. That's what I would have done. Yet he washed his feet. What a savior. I wonder how it was to be a little boy and be Jesus. His mother's kneeling next door, and you know, he's just a young boy in that little house in Nazareth. And she says, dear Lord. And Jesus said, uh-huh. Maybe Joseph took him out and said, we're going to count the stars tonight. 1, 2. Hey, Pop, let me save you a lot of time. 84,638,072,004. Whoa, how'd you know that? I made them. You want to know their names? Let me see. There's Orion. There must have been something. Jesus, how come you never get spankings? Because I never do anything wrong. Can you imagine playing hopscotch with Jesus? He never cheated. Okay, moving right along. It's what Jesus did. B, it's what leadership is about. Number next under that, don't tell anyone. And for sent, you men know what I'm talking about. Someone calls you and says, we're going through some problems. Call me back. You try to call them back, line's busy for 3 hours. How come? They're telling everybody. Every time we tell someone our problems, we hear it again. And you hear it, and you sink, and you say it again, and you sink, and you say it again, and you sink. No wonder we're discouraged, because we've been telling everybody. Yeah. I like the old hymn, are you weary, are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus alone. And I believe there's a time to have close men that you're close to that you can pour your heart out to and say, I want to be accountable. I'm discouraged. I'm going through something. But you can't tell everybody. It'll sink you. What I've done for years, when I'm sinking and I feel like it's more than I can handle, I pour it out to the Lord one time. I just give him all the details. I'm hurting. I need help. I'm discouraged. I don't know how we're going to make it. And I just pour it all out. Then the next day I'll say, you remember what I taught you about yesterday? Still feel the same way. I don't need to hear it again. Let's be honest. Who has ever felt like, you know, you knew the promise, God will never give you more than you can handle, 1 Corinthians 10:13, but you felt like somehow maybe you misunderstood the verse. Who's ever been there? It was like, I know you'll never, but you are. And here's the key. There was a man years ago that did a study on import-export ships that would sail. And sometimes they would overload them. They would hit some rough waters and they would sink. So the guy's name was Robert Plimsoll. He ended up putting a mark on every ship and said, this is the weight limit this ship can take. And you'll still see them in the harbor. And they'll load those ships down till the line touches the water, and they'll say, that's it. That's all the load it can take. Then they can sail. And I believe with all my heart, men of God, God puts an invisible plimsoll mark on every one of us. And he says, that's all that man can take. This is all I'm giving him. I'm a just God. I'll never give you more than you can handle. And I think he puts that mark on us. Now, the reason we feel overwhelmed is this. We don't pour our heart out to the Lord at night. David said, I poured my heart out to the Lord. You don't pour it out, and the next day, here it is, and I don't have a visual aid, but here's a cup, it's full to the brim, and you don't pour it out that night, God's got a whole nother cup of problems for you the next day. Now it's overflowing and it's running. How come? He expected us to pour it out the night before. You don't pour it out, you are overwhelmed. We've got to bear our own burdens. Don't tell anybody. By the way, I found out most people don't really care anyway. I've done something for years. I guess I'm a little bit nuts, kind of crazy, Brother Badger. Sometimes people will say, Pastor, how you doing? Did you have a good week? And I usually say something like this. My mother died. I'm still waiting for the heart transplant. They did test me positive for AIDS, and my emphysema's back. Usually they'll say, wonderful. I had such a great week myself. They're not listening to what you're saying. Because they're all thinking about their own problem. Don't tell anybody. By the way, our sheep are not there to hear our problems. One time in 10 years, here's my wife. She's suffered with migraine headaches for 10 years. Done all the stuff you're supposed to do, and the dentist, and the diets, and all this. Looks like this year, she got the victory. Looks like no more migraine. She's back in all the services, back out soul winning. I got my wife back. But during that time, only one time did I ever stand up. I said in a church, you're not here to bear my burdens. I said, but I just want you to know where my wife is. Anytime she misses church, she's got a full-fledged migraine headache. She's been to all the specialists. They don't know why. She's hurting. She wants to be here. Just pray for her. I only mentioned it one time in 10 years. Because they're there to bear their own burdens. Got to bear your own burdens. Not only that, but under this, what is it next? Don't run from it. Let her see. You better get some strength or you're not going to be able to bear your own burdens. You're going to have some strength. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. There's several areas or several activities God says will give you strength. Number one, under that, get around children. The Bible says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, that's how thou hast ordained strength. When you get around kids, they put things in perspective. As the new pastor at our church, I was the usher, the greeter, the song director, the janitor, the person that opened the door, I preached, I gave the invitation, greeted the new members. Finally, someone walked the aisle the first month I was there. It was a little boy. He walked the aisle. I said, son, why have you come? He said, I'm looking for the bathroom. I said, God bless you. Someone's making a decision. I said, go out there and take a left in the hallway. And that's where it is. On the bulletin the next week, one decision. Kids just put things in perspective. We have a group of men that are always there, but they're not all there. A little bit slow. And this one man, he's in his 30s. His name is Tim. For my birthday last year, he said, Pastor, I love you. He hugged me. He gave me one of these plaques, one of those $1 frames that has a little cheap piece of paper in it. Says, remove this, put your certificate in it. And he left the paper in it, you know, please put the picture in here. So he gave me that. Then he gave me a birthday card that said, to my favorite grandmother. And inside he signed it, love, Tim. You know, that's one of the sweetest things I have in my office right now. You know, you'll get strength as you just get around some people that either are a child or act like a child. It just gives you strength. What else will give you strength to bear your burdens? Your Bible. What else? Number three, prayer. Prayer. Number four, giving. Number five, soul winning. I asked a famous pastor years ago, I said, what do you do when you're discouraged? He said, I go soul winning. I said, well, I don't want to go soul winning when I'm discouraged. He says, well, that's what'll make you encouraged. Because what'll happen, you knock on a door, and as you're struggling, someone will say, I can't believe you're here. I just buried my mother. We're so brokenhearted. Twice I've had men say this, where have you been? I said, what do you mean, where have I been? I don't even know who you are. I've been praying for 3 days for someone to come by and tell me how to go to heaven. Where have you been? I said, I got here as quick as I could. You know, when you start having a few appointments like that, it'll give you strength. You can bear your own burdens. Your burdens may not go away, but they will feel lighter. What else under that? Number next, preaching. You want to get some strength? Get around more preaching. We have been strengthened this week. Amen. We have. And I don't know if you're like me. If I get one hit per Sunday, I'm encouraged. You say, what do you mean? Sunday school, Sunday morning, we have a men's meeting, and then Sunday night. I'm up to bat 4 times on Sunday. There's been some Sundays, it was all strikeouts. You ever been there? Whoo, whoo. Sunday school was terrible. Man, I wouldn't even come. Whoo, whoo. I don't even know why our people come. Sunday morning, Sunday night, whoo. Why am I even a pastor? Then on rare occasions, it's grand slam. It seems like everything that's pitched, over the fence. You know, that's why we need to listen to preaching from time to time. Faith does not come by reading the Word of God. It comes by hearing the Word of God. That's why we come to these conferences. We say, I'm encouraged. I can make it. But you didn't get that just by reading your Bible. It's just something about how God has ordained preaching. Pop you in some sermon tapes. For Father's Day, we gave out a black preacher preaching from debt to dignity. Don't even know the guy's name, but it was wild. That's what we gave to all the dads. Number next, quickly. You say, where do you get that? Faith comes by hearing. Number next, by being faithful. By being faithful. Years ago, I called Brother Treiber. I was a little bit down and wanted to talk to him. It was on New Year's Day. Isn't that something? You know, here I'm calling a great man of God on New Year's Day, bothering him on a holiday. And so, what are you doing? He said, I'm in my office. I said, what are you doing in your office? He said, throwing away books. I said, well, I need some books. Why don't you throw them my way? He said, I'm throwing books away of men of God that dropped out of the ministry this year. He said, I don't want any books on my shelves of quitters. I backed up. I said, you know, Brother Treiber, I feel the same way. Man, I'm the same way. He said, never even thought of that. David said in Psalms 101, I will keep my eyes upon the faithful of the land. You want to have strength? Hang around guys who are staying in the ministry, not people who are getting out. Hang around people who are persevering and not talking about quitting, not turncoats, not heading back. That'll give you strength. From time to time, I think we need to spend a little time with those a little bit ahead of us and older in the ministry, and then spend some time, you're fishing and hunting days with guys on the same level, and then you need to spend a little time reaching down for some of the newer guys and bring them up too. Gives us strength. Here's another one quickly. You say, Pastor, the burden bearer, we're almost there. We're almost there. Here it is, one day at a time. Now, I don't know what burden you're carrying for yourself or what you're carrying for others today. I remember when we were going through our building project and we were only $400,000 short. We broke ground. We had five contractors. I'm going to do the electrical. I'm going to do the roof. I'm going to do the cement. I'm going to do this. All donation. We were barely going to make it. Within 6 months, one of our contractors died. Another one, his key guy fell off of a scaffolding, broke his leg. Another one, back injury. Another one, had his license revoked. You name it, it came down. I remember driving to one city, I ended up in the wrong city one day. I couldn't even concentrate. I'd be preaching, and right in the middle of a sermon, I'd say, where am I? Maybe you've been there before. So how do you do it? Just today. That's why it's called Monday, Tuesday. It's not Wednesday, week, Thursday, year, Friday, millennium. Just today. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. There's no joy when you're living more than a day at a time. And that's why we get depressed. How am I going to make it through the whole summer? You don't have to. Just today. Just today. There's an excitement about today. Anyone can quit a habit today. Anyone can have a good marriage for one day. Anybody can keep their attitude right for one day. It's just today. I don't know if you've ever fly fished. I'm not good at it. Brother Chad Shears does it for a living. But I know this. You're supposed to pull out a little line and then toss it toward that fish. It's good if there's fish in the water you're fishing in. You don't pull out all the line, then say, now let me try. You're going to get all tangled up. I guarantee you, if you're overwhelmed right now, it may be because you've pulled out too much line. Too much line. Just today. Now, I love Brother Chapel. I mean, he is stellar. I guarantee you, he's already got his Wednesday night Bible studies ready into the year 2016. I'm still wondering, what am I preaching on Sunday morning? And there's some guys that are just super organized like that. My wife always tells me, you get PMS every Saturday night, pre-message syndrome. Leave your dad alone. PMS! He's getting ready for Sunday. Here's another one here. Quickly. Friends. Friends. You want to have strength? You need to have friends. David was in the woods being chased by 3,000 enemies and King Saul. Jonathan went to the woods. I love the passage. The Bible says, and strengthened his hands in the Lord. 3,000 enemies could not find David. One friend could. That's why it's so important, man, that you have close friends in the ministry. For years, I think we think we're so so self-sufficient. I don't need anybody. I got God. That's wonderful. But it's going to be someday you're going to want someone with flesh sitting in a room with you or drinking a Starbucks or whatever you drink sometimes with you. Just say, we're going to make it, man. You might want to get this. This is great truth from the Bible. Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. I want you to know that. It's really changed my life. Several of the new preacher boys. Okay, even alone. What verse is that? Years ago, a friend of mine, bus director up in Indiana, Roy Moffitt, came down with cancer. They weren't sure if he was going to live. I'd been to Israel that year. We went into the Valley of Elah. For some of the newer pastors, that's been only pastor in 15 years or so, that's where David killed Goliath. Okay, but we each picked up handfuls of stones in that valley. We just thought it was neat. I mean, here's where David picked the five smooth stones. So we looked for the four that, you know, he put back. That's what we did. You know, we were looking for them. But anyway, we each got a handful of stones. Remember gluing one stone to a little small plaque. The plaque said this: may you always face and fight the giants that cross your path. On the bottom, I put a sticker. It said, this stone was chosen for you by Mike Ray, the Valley of Elah in Israel, where David killed the giant. I mailed that to Roy Moffitt when he came down with cancer. He's been in remission. He's had surgeries. He's had radiation, all these things. His wife called me yesterday. She said, just want you to know, Roy had that cancer several years ago, still battling it, looks good. He placed it on the dresser next to our bed. She said, I dust it every week. He sees it every week of his life. A rock! A rock has encouraged a man in the ministry. You cannot give encouragement to the wrong man. Someone said in this, there's a book called Encouragement written by a business leader. He said, three of the most encouraging statements in the world is this: dinner is served. Okay. Keep the change. And this one: I believe in you. Yeah. You know, from time to time, there's got to be some preacher friend that you have, whether you hunt with him or you fish with him, or y'all just call each other once a week and say, hey man, how's it going? Where you just say, hey, I believe in you. Hey, if your church burns down, everyone calls and tells you they're praying for you. If your church breaks 1,000, get ready. You're not going to have anybody call you. Yeah. Weep with them that weep. It's easier to do. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Hard to do. I guarantee you, there's tons of pastors at this conference because Brother Chapel, the successful pastor, has reached out to many of us. Oftentimes I'll say, so why am I here? You didn't have enough guys to speak at something? He's reached out to friends. I don't know how many times in the early days I'd be here for some, I don't know. Yeah, he'd have me come speak to the third and fourth grade revival or something. I don't know what it was, some excuse. He'd say, Brother Ray, need you sitting in our staff meeting here. Just sitting in the staff. I know what he was doing. He would say, you're not very good at this. Watch this. I'll never forget. Let's keep going here just quickly. So that's how we get strength. Quickly here, finishing. And I don't know how many, if that's 10 or not, but we have to hasten. And let me just give you these just in passing, bearing other people's burdens. Here's just something I do. I never change my watch when I travel. I can be in India. Well, they're about to start Sunday school back home. I was in Kentucky last week. I said, well, my family's just getting up. Our men are just going to work. I want to know what time it is in my people's lives. That's just me. My wife always, I know you hadn't changed your watch. She'll say, what time? Oh, this is all messed up. It's just, I'm a pastor 24 hours a day. Just like you are. That pastor's heart. You're never off, 7 days a week, always on call. No one understands it except those that have a pastor's heart. I'll say this too. On the platform, I'm always writing notes. And Sunday morning, I'll be sitting there. I'll pull out the famous 3x5 cards and I'm writing. Sometimes people say, Pastor, God must have given you some extra thoughts for the message Sunday morning, huh? I said, no, I'm writing down absentees. Where are the Joneses? I spent an hour with the Smiths this week. Where are they today? Man, I'm fired up by the time. Man, I'm angry. That's bearing burdens. Sheep are dumb. They stray. They make friends with wolves and mountain lions. They eat poison. They walk off cliffs. It's our job to kind of throw a rock every once in a while and bounce and try to get them back in. The burden bearer. The burden bearer. Roman numeral 2, just quickly here. Bear his burdens or his others. Bearing other people's burdens. It's found in the book of Job when his three friends showed up, by your presence. So I don't know what to say at that funeral. Just show up and be there.
Yes, sir.
That's bearing a burden. Amen. Let her be. By your tears. I like Job's three friends that says they came, they sat down for 7 days in peace and quiet. They'd have been heroes if they wouldn't open their mouth. But it said, and they wept. Number three, by your encouragement. By your encouragement. How do you bear someone's burdens? By encouraging them. Several things, just in passing, we'll go quickly here. How do you encourage someone? By words. Hey, good job. I know you came straight from work. I'm proud of you. Thanks for being here tonight. It means a whole lot to me. I really mean it. Hey, got a tie on. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Marilyn Monroe, what in the world? But anyway, got just bragging. You know, we need to brag on all effort. If we're not careful, I mean, the hippie's got to cut his hair, King James Bible, all in 1 week or he doesn't get one compliment. Hey, got a haircut. Remember when my buddy Keith Gomez had long hair? He got it cut up to here. Oh, look, hey, got a haircut. It took him about 10 haircuts to get it right. Bus kid comes to our church, has his first Bible. Hey, got a Bible. You open it up, leave in Motel 6. Yeah. You know? How do we encourage? A note. I wrote Brother Chapel a note right away after that message last night. Just handed it to one of his guys. I don't know if he's gotten it yet. It just said, you hit a grand slam tonight. I have never heard you better. God used you. Your friend. That's it. I don't have to type 3 pages. Just a little note. How do you encourage? By a handshake. By a handshake. Does anybody need any money here? You're totally broke, Bro James. Are you broke? Okay, good. Just stand up right here. So here it is. And here's Brother James. I didn't say come. And so it's called the green handshake. You just kind of fold money up. We'll take this $100 bill right here. But it's got a 5 on it, but it really is a $100 bill. And you just kind of shake someone's hand. You know, I don't know how many times I've seen my dad do that when missionaries were visiting our church. He'd kick their tires and notice the car was on empty. And he'd just, hey, thanks for coming. And as soon as they felt that paper, it's like, I love your church. You know, the whole count, a piece of paper makes their face change. Money encourages. Someone said money talks. It says goodbye. But it's just a tool. Someone said money is to meet our basic needs and make other people happy. Encourage. I'll say this quickly and I think we dismiss it, what, 6? Thank you. Yeah, no, we won't be that long. It's like that little kid. He thought church was long. He said, Mom, what comes next? His mother said, Tuesday. But had a preacher friend of mine, very discouraged, carrying his burdens, no staff. He'd work, built like 5 churches, just kind of revolving door, and people didn't stay, and no one appreciated him. And one day this lady called and said, we will not be back. We didn't like your sermon Sunday night. She hung up. And I guess he went into a nervous breakdown or something. He pulled the church phone out of the wall. Began beating the church phone. I hope he paid for the damages. Just beat the phone up. Began crying. Crawled under his office desk. Started crying. God, I'm a failure. I'm so sorry. I'm just a failure. I'm sorry. He said, I'm just going to walk out in the woods and just pour my heart out to the Lord. He walked out in the woods for several hours and finally sat under a tree just to read his Bible, and he sat down in a bed of red ants.
Whoa.
So he's pulled the phone out. He's cried. He's confessed his sins. Now he's bit with ants. He drove up to my place. We were going to fly to a preacher's conference for a couple of days. I had him speak that night. He wasn't at his best. We got on the plane. He was very quiet. And that's how we men get. We go into caves, just like Elijah did. We get real quiet. He was very quiet on the plane. I saw him open up this little note. Looked like it was a little note written by a child. He opened it up. I'm just trying to glance over there. Tears began streaming down his face. It's got a $5 bill in it. It said, "Dear brother," I don't know, you won't know the name. I'm not going to give it to you. It's Lee Robertson. No. "Dear brother," and it had his name, "you're my hero and my favorite preacher. Love, Faith." That's my daughter. Faith, 5 years of age, wrote that letter and put a $5 bill in that little note. That pastor looked at me through tears. He said, "I guess if a 5-year-old kid thinks I'm worth something, I guess I can hang in there a little bit longer." Amen. He's built a tremendous church on the West Coast because one little kid encouraged him. How do you know if someone needs encouragement? Here it is. They're breathing. Beside that, most times they cannot make eye contact. "How you doing, brother?" "Fine. Everything's wonderful." They can't. Now quickly here, let's get on to this subject here. Roman numeral 3, we need to bear his burdens. Bear his burdens. Let me back up just for a second. Let me just give you a couple things that I do also. How many of you find that counseling sometimes, you go into a counseling appointment, when you're out, you feel like, "I think I wasted a whole hour. I mean, what in the world?" Okay, here's what I've started doing. I do not teach doctrine in my office. Someone comes in, "So what is wrong with speaking in tongues?" I don't spend an hour on that. I pull out a little doctrinal booklet, number 18, "Speaking in Tongues and Healing." Read this. "Pastor, can you teach me how to be a soul winner?" "No, but I'll give you my soul winning book on how to lead a soul to Christ. Here, read that." If they won't read a book that week, I don't need to spend an hour with them. So I've tried to head off the counseling at the pass. Spoke to a boy Sunday, has no dad, very angry and a lot of anger issues and bitterness. I said, "Here's what I want you to do. Here's a sermon tape I heard on Anger the Destroyer by S.M. Davis. I want you to listen to this. We'll talk next week." It saved me an hour. We spend too much time when you could say, "Listen to this, watch this, we'll talk in a week." If they won't do the homework that week, why waste your time with them? Jesus invested in the disciples. He had multitudes that were curious and wanted to see him walk on water or multiply a lunch and maybe hear some neat things he said, but he said, "I'm investing in 12. Sometimes I'll give them this. I'll say, "All right, well, no, this is for you guys, but here it is. Here's my dad's book. God will make this trial a blessing. It's got pictures in it. It's a sharp biography we wrote. Unshackled put this into a program. A missionary I saw in Washington last year, he said, "We were in the hut in Uganda with my natives listening to Unshackled and your daddy's story came on in Uganda." I told daddy, I said, "Hey, Dad, look at that." I said, "You made it big time." He said, "Well, I'll be." So I gave this book about my no relationship with my dad as a boy. I gave it to that boy with the quivering lip and the tears streaming down his face in my office Sunday. I said, "Read this. You can make it. You can make it, son." So that saves time. Here's someone depressed. Give them a music CD. You get them all the time. All these college groups. Here's the latest one. Okay, you don't like it? Give it away. But don't tell the college that. Here's a tool. The Real Christmas Story. So here it is. We told the Christmas story. We had the live animals. We duplicated these off. People sent these out as Christmas cards, evangelistic, and so forth. We can go on and on and on. So next, bear his burden. His burden is that people would get saved. You know the story. The Apostle John at the Last Supper leans on Jesus' breast. Guess what he was hearing? The heartbeat of God. And God's heartbeat has always been souls to get saved. And I just believe if we're out after it trying to see people reached, our burdens will be lighter. I just think they'll be lighter. Or at least we'll have a reason. There's a reason to fight for that youth group. There's a reason to fight for that church. There's a reason to get gray hair and lose sleepless nights to build a building. You say, it's not worth it. It is for the crowd that God's trying to reach. I looked at our church a while back and I said, I knew you were here, but I never knew what you looked like. Because God had called me to Napa 25 years ago. I knew they were there. They were just waiting on me. Here's several ideas, and again, these are not all original. Number one, if you're in small enough town, set a goal to knock every door in your city. When I moved to Napa, we had 53,000 people. Now we have 78,000. Not a large city for California. It took me 4 years. Every door, rich, poor, house trailers, country club, Spanish, rural, everything in our city limits, these knuckles have been to. Not our church, me personally. Yountville, St. Lena, Calistoga, most of Fairfield, American Canyon, much of Vallejo, Rodeo. You name those cities. People say, I live such and such. I can easily say, that's right off of such and such. I've been to your house. Well, how do you know you've been to our house? I've hit every door there. What else are we doing in our offices? I mean, I got 40 hours a week. Is my church big enough I need to be on the internet 40 hours? Man, I don't need 40 hours a week on my sermons. I want to have someone in the pew to preach to. Set you a goal. Man, just every door. Man, I'm going to hit. Now, if you live in Los Angeles, it may take you a while. You better get started right now. Set a goal to hit every door. Quickly, this too. Have a soul-winning bus. It's just an idea. We've done that for years. Instead of saying, well, here's a few cards and who wants to go out, it's exciting getting on a bus. So we'll just load up a bus of people and we're going to head to a neighborhood, save your gas, two off here, two off here, two off here, and two off here. And we don't set a record. We can't compare to Lancaster. How many did you have last week, Brother Chad? We had 898 out soul winning. It's been a while since we've had that many. Over 25 years. Here's another one. Quickly, soul winning bus. Knock all the doors. Christian counseling service. Christian counseling service. I moved to California and I realized it's a status symbol that you're seeing a counselor. Well, I can't make it to church Wednesday night, Pastor. That's when I see a counselor. That's when I see my therapist. So I said, all right, you want counseling? We'll give it to you. We ran an ad in the Yellow Pages, CCS, Christian Counseling Service. Addictions, marriage, abuse, teens, first appointment free, initial consultation. We get phone calls all the time. Yes, we're having marriage problems. You have any openings this week? We sure do. And who will be doing the counseling? Well, that'll be the pastor. Well, how much is it? First appointment's free. We don't tell them. Second appointment's free. Third one's free. Fourth one's free. They come in. They're on my turf. And guess who they are? Middle class people. That's who calls for counseling. The homeless don't say, do you have counseling? It's doctors, lawyers, airplane pilots. It's rabbi, I mean, it's business people. Because they're used to paying $150 an hour for that. And they'll come in, we'll talk about their problem, try to give them some answers. Then I'll say, by the way, let me tell you my story. 41 years ago, someone knocked on my door. And I'll give my testimony. I say, you want to hear it? Open the Bible. Show me. 90% of them get saved right there in the office. They're on my turf. That's how Jesus did his miracles. He would heal the seen miracle, then he would give them the gospel. When people are starving, they don't want to hear the gospel. They need some food first. That's been a big tool for us. You knock on those middle class doors, drop dead, get out of here. But once they're in your office, and all those middle class people, average one knows 200 other people. That's been a tool for us. Let me give you just the other ones just real quickly here. Here they are. Parades. We were in three parades for 4th of July this year, a couple weeks ago. We had a Battle of Midway pilot, Clark Firestone. He was also at Pearl Harbor. He was on one of the floats waving. We had a big banner. We love the veterans at Hopewell Baptist Church. Passed out flyers with the gospel on them and candy. Thousands. Just an idea. Here's another one. The city fair or the city park or the city carnival. That's where our RU booth is, Reformers Unanimous booth. Last year they had over 400 people saved that week at the fair. Different people manned it. Come on in. Here's a tent, ice cold, something to drink. Come on in. Let's ask you the question. Here's a brochure. And man, they just picked them off. Here's another one. Funeral homes. When I first moved to Napa, went to all the funeral homes, gave them a business card. I said, if there's someone that doesn't have a pastor to do their funeral, here's my number. So since I've been in town, I've done 346 funerals. Average, 100 people at each funeral, some up to 500. So that's about 50,000 people that have been in one of my funerals. That's a lot of people. Meet people all over the town. Hey, I heard you do so-and-so's funeral. I was at so-and-so's memorial service. I was there. And we always give the gospel real clear. It's just a tool. Because that's his burden. Sometimes God lets someone die to fill your church so you can give them the gospel. What else? And we must hasten. Just church-wide soul winning. Church-wide soul winning. Mine eye affecteth mine heart. I give you this, and then we're just out of time. I like what Brother Chappell said one time. He said, guess who passes out tracts? And I'm waiting for the answer. He says, people who have them. You want to get your church and your youth group to the point that they always have tracts. Always have tracts. You ever been in an elevator or out in some public place? And something in your heart says, give that guy a tract. And you did this. Up. And you didn't have one. And you felt like I had one opportunity. And here's this 5-cent tract that I could have handed, that I had the gospel forever. You want to have tracts. Carl Hatch, the great soul winner who's up in heaven now, he used to say, your pockets are portable tract racks. He said, that's why they put pockets on your pants, for tracts. I said, Brother Hatch. He was out soul winning. I was with him one day. He said, you ever catch me without a tract, I'll give you a $100 bill. So we were out hitting doors. He ran out. He said, I'm done. I said, me too. Let's go eat. We went in the car. I said, Brother Hatch, you promise if anyone ever caught you without a tract, you would give him a $100 bill. I said, pay up. I know you don't have any. He opens his wallet. Oh, he's got a spare. Right there in his wallet. Cheater. He said, I even have tracks in my pajamas. I sleep with track. I said, what? He said, I might be in a motel preaching in some city, and the motel catches on fire. Going to run outside and going to win someone to the Lord. It's unbelievable. I was in Vallejo, 16 miles from our church. I think it was this last year. Knocked on a door. Not a real bad part of town. Knocked on the door. A guy opens the door with an axe in his hand. Double-bladed axe. I said, don't chop me up. He said, I'm sorry, Reverend. He said, there's been a lot of strange people in this neighborhood lately. And I felt like saying, and you are one of them. And it's an exciting thing. If you've gotten a little bit away from the door to door and winning people to Christ on a regular basis, it's time to get back to it. That's his burden. That's his burden. I'm done with this. When a man in our church before I got there, he ended up being the church pianist. He played in nightclubs. And every once in a while, you would hear it come out. Amazing grace. Tom! Yes, sir. Tom cut his hair. He had a ponytail down to his waist. Cut it about the time I got there. They called him the Snake Man of Vallejo. He had 99 snakes. He had black mambas, rattlesnakes, cobras. He had 3 pythons, one of them 17 feet long. He would put it out in the park to sun it. Parents would grab their children and run. Tom, by trade, was a barber. We taught one little session on how to lead a soul to Christ. Tom was so excited. I'm a try it, Pastor. The next week, he came up to me on a Sunday morning. He says, Pastor, led my first 2 souls to Christ. I said, wonderful. He said, some customers there in my shop. Good. Next week, said, 1-4 this week. Wow, good job, Tom. Next week, 1-2. I said, Tom, tell me, how are you doing it? He said, well, here's how I do it. He says, a lot of times I'll cut the hair, and if it's a man, I'll shave him. I'll lather their face up. I'll just put my straight razor right there to their neck. And I'll say, if I was to slip and slit your throat right now, would you go to heaven or hell or don't you know? He said, Pastor, they're just getting saved like that. I said, Tom, I don't think that's how you do it.